man, pour that first cup of coffee. The Rosie on the House Rooster, he's on time again this gorgeous Arizona Saturday morning. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House, an Arizona homeowner's tradition for 26 years. The 8 o'clock hour, we always start out in the garden with our host and co-host, Mr. Bill Jenkins of Think Green Landscaping and Irrigation. Jennifer is out today. She's actually up in Williams at the Junior Rodeo.
Thank you, Mama.
Yeah, baby.
She's helping with the babies.
So we have screened the entire territory for someone qualified to be our call screener. We are proud to say we have an ASU biochemistry graduate doing our call screening.
We don't just
today.
Take anyone.
We just don't take anybody. So you give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. You'll be talking to Miss Stephanie Acuna. She'll do a blood analysis over the phone, verify your health, take your question, and put you on the air. Stephanie, thank you for joining us this Saturday.
This isn't government health care. She's just going to get your name and number.
1-888-767-4348. If you have any question about your landscape, gardening, irrigation, watering, fertilizer, trimming, edging, planting, transplanting, nixing, doing away, xeriscaping. This is your hour to jump on the phone with us right now. 1-888-767-4348.
And if you're a subscriber to our weekly newsletter, you also know Mr. Bill Jenkins is a Rosarian.
What? Oh, yes.
Now, I'm familiar with certified arborist and master garden and those processes. What do you have to do to be classified as a Rosarian?
No, I'm not going to claim any fancy credentials. Just a love of roses and a family history of enjoying playing with roses.
Just for fun, tell that story about your grandpa bringing that rose.
It was my father.
Oh, your father.
I believe it was from Europe. I was a little kid. I'll never forget. And he just brought this thing. It was a black stick when he got it. And he packed it in peat moss, watered it. And that rose turned into the most beautiful orange rose. It was a predecessor, I believe, of the Tropicana. Just beautiful rose.
And how long did, when you said you were very young, is that something y'all have still kept and grafted
off? I have a rose
of?
Garden. My grandfather on my mother's side had quite a rose garden. I guess he actually did gardens for Jackson and Perkins. He did some test gardens in the Mesa area. And so we have a green thumb in the family that likes to play with roses.
That's a rose history right there. So to be a Rosarian, you need to be third generation and bring a bare rootstock from Europe. Is that what I'm picking up?
Bring it back from the dead, right.
Well, let's talk about, speaking of dead, we got to kill off our rye.
Yep. Yeah, the transition process should have begun. One of the things we run into in the summertime, we get a lot of calls for folks who have problems with turf grass, and they think they're having an irrigation problem or some other problem, and we find that they just didn't properly transition. We find this out next month or two, even into August, and they've still got ryegrass in areas that's hanging on because they're watering improperly or they didn't go through the transition process. And we get the call because, of course, suddenly the grass turns brown, and all of a sudden we've got these big brown spots. Well, I must be having a sprinkler problem, right? Actually, they're probably watering too much. So getting rid of the ryegrass right now and getting so that we have a happy, healthy Bermuda grass lawn for the summer, boy, do the transition now and enjoy the nice summer lawn and have a healthy summer lawn versus the alternative. Dead areas of rye and no Bermuda grass filling in until the end of the season. It's time to overseed again. So very, very important. And we see this a lot.
You were mentioning that a lot of times people will come and they think that their lawn's just done and they want to pull everything out and start over. And you mentioned Bermuda, there's probably no such thing as a Bermuda lawn too far gone.
Yeah, and I get a call that, my lawn's worn out or the lawn just, it needs to be replaced because it's old and it doesn't look good. And we usually find that it's not the lawn as much as how it's being cared for. And we could put a new grass lawn in if we took the old one out, put a new one in, and it probably would look just like the old one in a short period of time because it's how it's being cared for and the conditions. So go back to the basics. Get your basics right. Correct your watering problems. Make sure your irrigation system's working correctly. Fertilize every 30 days. Get your mow height correct for the type of grass that you have. The basics. Before we get into necessarily aeration and dethatching and some of the turf care things that might be, a little more of the next step, start with the basics first. And one of the biggest problems we have is shade. We just We have a lot of areas, you know, mature areas of Phoenix. Folks will plant a tree or they'll put some grass in on the north side of a structure, and it looks good for a season or so. Then all of a sudden you start having leggy, thin grass, weeds start coming in, and weeds are opportunists. When the grass isn't healthy, we have weeds. We really find that most of the Bermuda grasses, even the shade-tolerant varieties, and I can talk some more about some shade-tolerant varieties, still need 6 or 8 hours or more sun a day to look good. And if you just don't have a nice, big, sunny area, the ideal environment would be an east exposure with day sun, with maybe a little afternoon shade, but nice day sun. Then you've got an opportunity for a healthy Bermuda grass lawn.
Well, I'll give a shout-out to Scottsdale Weed.
There you go.
You know, Ray?
I've talked with him.
Man, he begged me to let him spray some stuff on my lawn. And I thought, well, what have I got to lose? Let's try it. I can't believe. Jennifer said it the other day. Rosie, our lawn has never looked. I've never seen the lawn so thick. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely gorgeous.
That's wonderful. And it just shows you that, you know, you had a problem, and it was probably one of the basics, and you took care of it, and you didn't need to replace your lawn. You were frustrated with it. You were getting to the point where you were thinking, maybe it's time for a new lawn.
The lawn's 40 years old. Yeah. I thought it's been compacted. There's been too many football games. There's been too many bocce ball games. Looks like me, old, worn out, compacted. And I just thought, you know, it's just time to rip this all out and come in here with 6, 8, 12 inches of fresh, and let's start. Can't believe he was there. You know, I'm the world's biggest believer in pre-emergent because my dad broke me a weeding back in 1968. I ran through about 7 hula hoes in one summer, and that
sold you on pre-emergent.
Oh, yeah. Man, I want to tell you. So he was there pre-emerging. He said, Rosie, I'm going to put a little witch's brew on your lawn. You're not going to believe what's going to happen in 2 to 3 weeks. And I literally cannot believe. I'm a regular fertilizer. I'll do a Western Organics or a Royal Turf.
Yes.
Turf Royale every 30 days once it starts turning green. But I've never had it look like it looks like this.
And that's what's recommended, a light fertilization every 30 days. Ooh, there we go.
I have no idea what's in that stuff.
Which is brew?
I have no idea. He wouldn't tell me. He said, you're just going to love the way it looks.
And he was right.
Oh, man. Like I said, I've just never seen it so thick.
Well, back to the basics. So, right? and that's wonderful. I obviously give a shout out to him. You can find him on the website.
You can. So there's lawns. There's a little background on roses. And we've got open lines for your question at 1-888-767-4348.
Now, let's talk infrastructure, because that's always a problem. And it seems like, I don't know what it is with sprinklers, if they're just made to do this or if it's just my luck with sprinklers. But if I don't do a winter and a summer lawn and I give the sprinkler systems, valves, gauge a rest, you turn it back on and it's like leaks everywhere. Oh, you go fix this one, you turn it back on. There's a leak over here. It took me, just one after the next, after the next, after the next. And then every time you open it up, it seems like you get dirt clod in there, and then you got to take the head off the sprinkler and turn it back on to flush it out.
We might need to come up and take a look, because most of the products out there, especially the professional products from name brands, are much more reliable than that. And if they're installed correctly, you know, you have a sprinkler that's installed.
I did inherit this system. I have been upgrading with every broken valve with the industrial stuff.
But. Yep, yep. You know, if it's installed correctly, and that's a big thing. We see a lot of sprinkler heads don't get put at the correct height. And if it's up above grade, which it should not be, it's mower bait. It's going to get banged on, and that's not going to add longevity. Plus, the sun eats up the wiper seals, and the sun damages the plastic on the top of the head. A good quality lawn sprinkler system installed properly should basically be invisible when the lawn is at the correct mow height and the lawn's healthy.
And when you say invisible, so it's got to be below grade.
And not below grade. You want the top of the cap of the head to be just a tiny, tiny bit above grade or at grade. And the different manufacturers have slightly different specifications there. But basically, the little sprinklers that pop up and pop up maybe 4 inches or so, the top of that cap of that head should be at dirt level. Not the mow height of the grass, but dirt level. And your mow height's going to be, you know, 3/4 inch, maybe 1.5 or 2 inches if you've got mid-iron or common Bermuda. So it's down out of sight, out of harm's way. It pops up, does its job, and then disappears.
Now, when you were talking, what I've experienced is when I overseed, I mulch. The first couple times I mm-hmm. didn't, and it still comes up. You just got to make sure it stays wet. But it's so much greener and thicker when you mulch. So now it's really building up. At what point do I do? If it gets too high,
the head getting deeper and deeper and deeper,
and the yard kind of slopes.
Yeah, if you're adding material, you're building the grade up over time, and you might have to adjust the height of the heads. Obviously, you don't want the heads to be down significantly below ground. We will find the nozzles start to plug. We have maintenance issues there, and the wiper seals wear out because the soil is acting like sandpaper, and white. You know, every time that head pops down, it's got dirt on the wiper seal. It chews it up. So that having the head at the correct height, properly installed, the right head for the application, that adds a huge reliability factor.
And then we also have to talk control valves. That's a big.
I'm a big believer. Part of it. And it gets a little technical, but there's two types of control valves for the residential market, and we can get somebody can send me an email or talk to me off air about this. But there's a type. It sounds funny because it's reverse flow. Doesn't mean the water goes backwards, but it's a balanced pressure design, and we like several manufacturers. We have a favorite in our friends at Rainbird. And that particular product just has so many different advantages. The valve, if a diaphragm tears, for instance, which is going to happen someday, we suppose, the valve actually fails shut. It doesn't stick on.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah.
So you don't come home and find, a little mini Noah's Ark for insects
not
going
as often,
down the sidewalk.
Not saying things can't still happen, but the product is much more reliable.
And it's called a reverse flow
reverse
valve.
Reverse flow. It's just basically how the valve is designed, and this is kind of a technical subject, but just trust the folks over at Think Green that we know how to pick the right material for the job. I've got the experience after many decades of repairing these systems.
You've also heard us talking a lot this season just about how warm our winter has been and the
yes.
fact that it didn't kill off a lot of insects.
Nope.
So it's going to be a long insect season. We'll probably see some more mosquitoes than we generally see. We'll see a lot more mites than we usually have, and that's where Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 will come in. It contains neem oil, so it's organic for anyone that's really conscious about that. And the good thing about the Rose RX 3-in-1 is not just for your roses and your flowers, but you can also put this right on your vegetable garden. So it's a all-in-one product for all your insect and disease control, and it will work on most indoor houseplants as well. The 3-in-1's insecticide, a miticide, and a fungicide. Also kills eggs, larvae, and adults, so it'll wipe out the whole colony. Bonide's RX 3-in-1 can be found at Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson on Speedway. If you're up in the White Mountains or you have a cabin in beautiful Lakeside, stop by Christopher's Garden on White Mountain Boulevard. And it's also available for all of our Prescott listeners at Waters Garden Center on Iron Springs. It comes in ready-to-use quart application, and it also comes in pint size if you're just doing small containers. That's Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1.